Let us turn back in our Bibles to John chapter 21. I want to speak to us from three verses in this chapter, verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Peter had denied the Lord three times. He had professed that he did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now the Lord, in restoring Peter publicly to the office of preaching the gospel, he asked him three times the same question. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And then he commanded him three times, Feed my sheep. I have three facts that I want to bring to us from these verses this morning. Very simple facts from the Word of God. But first, the Lord Jesus has His sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ has His sheep. Each of the three times when He asked Peter if he loved him, He revealed that He has His sheep. He called them My lambs, my sheep, and again, my sheep. Now, let's think of several different ways that a man has the right to call a sheep his sheep, to call a lamb my lamb. First, he may be given a sheep. And then he can refer to that sheep as his sheep, my sheep. And I ask this question this morning, are His sheep, those who know Him, those who are saved by the grace of God, are His sheep His by gift? That is, have they been given unto Him? And you know the answer, of course, in John 10, when the Lord Jesus Christ especially speaks about Himself being the shepherd and the sheep. He said this, My sheep. Not my goats. The goats are His too. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords, and all of creation is His. But He didn't say my goats. He said my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now listen. My Father, which gavest them me. His sheep are His. He refers to them as my lambs, my sheep, because first of all, they were given to Him. He said, My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And before this, in John chapter 6 and verse 39, He said, And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And I mentioned that His sheep are His, first of all, by gift, because this is something that took place before the foundation of the world. His sheep were given unto Him. We know from a passage in Ezekiel, the prophecy of Ezekiel, one day He's going to answer for His sheep. they're going to be counted. And there's not one going to be missing. They are His sheep, first of all. If you're one of His children this morning, if you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are one of His sheep. And you were given unto Him by the Father in that everlasting covenant of grace. My sheep, they were first of all given unto Him. Second, a man may buy or he may redeem a sheep and then refer to that sheep as my sheep. And I put these two words together, buy and redeem, because the scriptures speak of both, of the Lord buying His sheep and the Lord redeeming His sheep. Two times in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul said, you are bought with a price. You're bought. A man may buy a sheep, and it's his sheep. He may call it my sheep. And every one of his sheep, that is the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ, are his, first of all, by gift, by second, but second by purchase. He's purchased everyone. When Paul, the Apostle Paul, met with the elders of the church at Ephesus for the last time, and he knew that, and they knew that they would never meet again in this world. He told them, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, now listen, which He hath purchased with His own blood. We just sang that hymn. Amazing love that our God would purchase us, would give His life for us, buy us, if you please. Paul told the elders there that the church of God is purchased with His blood. If we had no other verse in the Word of God to declare unto us that Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ, the man who was born 2,000 years ago, that He is God. That verse alone would be sufficient. That God, the apostle says, God purchased His church. We know He did that as the God-man. He purchased, He gave His life, a ransom for many. I like the word redeem. Yes, He did purchase us, but I like the word redeem because when the word redeem is used, that tells us that whatever is redeemed was already His. And I've used this illustration many times. I'll use it once more. When you pawn something, you go to one of these easy pawn shops and you have a set of tools or something. They're yours. They're your tools, toolbox. And you set it up there on the shelf there, and he opens the lid, and he looks, and he sees all these ratchets and different size tools and everything in there. And he says, well, and now you know you've paid about $150 for that set of tools. And he says, well, I'll give you $50. $50. And you need $50. And so you pawn your tools. He gives you a ticket. And you come back in 2 weeks and you pay him $75. High interest. High interest. The tools were already yours. The sheep were already His. They were given unto Him, as I said, before the foundation of the world. But yet He redeems them. He must, to be our Redeemer, He must be flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone. To be the kinsman Redeemer. That's the word that Job used in Job chapter 19 when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand upon the earth in the latter days. His Redeemer is his kinsman Redeemer. And the Lord Jesus Christ had to become a man, or God rather had to become a man, the Lord Jesus, that he might be our kinsman redeemer, to have the right to redeem. In Israel of old, under the law, you might have walked by or gone by and you see this man out here and he's in slavery actually, but because he sold himself into slavery. Now he's got an inheritance somewhere. All the men were given an inheritance in the land of Canaan, but he has sold himself into slavery. Now, every 7 years he's got the slave has to be set free. I'm talking about a Hebrew servant, Hebrew slave. The year of Jubilee in the 50th year, remember, all was returned back to its original owners. But as I said, you see this man out here and you say, you know, I'd like to redeem that man. I'd like to pay his master whatever he owes him and put him back in his inheritance. Take him back to his land, his farm. Well, do you have the right? Well, no, I'm not kin to him. He's not my kin, folk. You can't redeem him. Only one who was near of kin could redeem. That's what the whole story, the little book of Ruth. Everybody loves that story of Ruth. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's about the kinsman redeemer. I read one time that Benjamin Franklin went to a meeting of men that met there, I guess, in Philadelphia to read different things. And he read the book of Ruth. And those men were flabbergasted. They said, that's the most beautiful book. That's the most beautiful story I've ever heard. Where did you find that? Found it in the Bible. In the Bible. In the Word of God. It's all about a kinsman redeemer. Boaz redeemed Naomi, Ruth, and then the mother-in-law of Ruth, Naomi, and all of the things that pertain to her husband and her two sons. He redeemed them. Remember, there was one who was a closer kinsman, but he said, I can't do it. I can't redeem her. He didn't have the power. He didn't have the withal. When he found out, yes, he was willing to take the land, but when he found out, when you do, you've got to take Ruth also to be your wife and raise up a son to her husband's name. Well, I can't do that. That would mar my inheritance. Boaz, he redeemed her. He redeemed Ruth. The Lord Jesus Christ, his sheep, are not only purchased, but we are redeemed. And the Apostle Peter tells us, for as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things. Corruptible things such as silver and gold. You know, gold, I guess, is one of the most valuable metals that men know anything about. But still, gold is under a curse. Silver is under a curse. When man sinned, God cursed the ground. Man cannot be redeemed with gold or silver. You could give everything you had, and you could be very wealthy, but it could not pay for your redemption. Take something much more valuable, much more powerful, something that has much greater worth than gold or silver. Well, what is it? It's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We're redeemed by blood. Precious blood, because it is the blood of Christ. Another way that a man might own a sheep and call it his sheep is by inheritance. He might inherit a sheep. And then he says, that's my sheep. He inherited it. It's my sheep. Look back with me to John chapter 10, if you will. John chapter 10, our Lord, as I said a minute ago, in this chapter is dealing with sheep and himself being the shepherd. But here in verses 15 and 16, he said, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have. Now, who is this? Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Who are these of another fold? In Psalm chapter 2, the scripture says, ask of me, God speaking to his son, ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen. Now listen, for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. The heathen, of course, refers to Gentiles. Other sheep I have. The Gentiles. Not just Jews, but of the Gentiles. He has sheep. And they are his inheritance. The uttermost part of the earth, it says. I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth. You and I, we live in the uttermost part of the earth. When the Lord spoke about being witnesses unto him, he said, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We don't live in Jerusalem. We don't live in Judea. We don't live in Samaria. We live in the uttermost part of the earth. His sheep that were given unto him as an inheritance by the Father are scattered all over this world. All over this world. Some from every tribe, from every tongue. We know that. But they are his by inheritance. They are his sheep. A fourth and a last way that a man may call a sheep his sheep, he may find it. He may find it. For the Son of Man, this is what he said, for the Son of Man, speaking of himself, is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Two times in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ gives a parable that are very similar. Both times it is a man that has 100 sheep, and one of them is missing. One of them is lost. Now what does he do? Does he say, well, I've got 99, that's enough, I don't need that other sheep. No, no. He leaves the 99 in the wilderness and pens them up, and he goes out to seek that lost sheep. And that's what we do in preaching the gospel. In preaching the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, my sheep hear my voice and they know my voice. The gospel is preached indiscriminately to everyone. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And for many, it may be just like water off a duck's back. They don't hear a thing. But his sheep hear his voice. And they know his voice. His voice is a voice of authority. It's not a voice of maybe so or perhaps so. No, no. His voice is a voice of authority. It's a majestic voice. And his sheep hear his voice and they know it's his voice. When they hear a man talk about how you've got to do good works and when you die, God's going to take your good works and put them on one side of the scale and your bad works over here. And whichever one outweighs the other, that's going to determine whether you go to heaven or go to hell. The sheep know immediately that's not the voice of the shepherd. Shepherd doesn't talk like that. He doesn't use words like that. The shepherd uses words like, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The Apostle Peter in his first letter said, for you were, past tense, for you were, he's writing to believers, You were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. The shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Psalm 119, David, who was a shepherd when the Lord anointed him to be king, he knew a lot about sheep. And that 119th Psalm is all about the Word of God. But near the end, he prays and he says, Lord, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. Sheep are prone to go astray. I'm talking about God's sheep. I'm talking about people who know the Lord as their Savior, know the Lord as their shepherd. And yet we have a heart that is prone to go astray. Now, a sheep, when it goes astray, it doesn't just fly over here in the wilderness from the pasture and all of a sudden it's over here in the wilderness. No, it starts looking and the grass looks a little greener over here, a little more grass, and moves over here. And then the grass looks a little greener over here, moves over here. And eventually it's out here needing the shepherd once again to seek him. That's what David is talking about when he said, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. He prays and asks the Lord to seek him. A person doesn't go away from the Lord in a big step normally. A person just begins to neglect. First of all, neglecting the Word of God. I just don't have enough time. You just don't understand, preacher, how busy I am and the job that I have and the demands of my family. No, I don't. We all are in a different circumstance. I realize that. But we begin to slowly neglect the Word of God. There was a time when we wouldn't leave our house without reading the Scripture. But now we can leave our house, and when we get back home at night, I'm going to read the Word of God, but there are so many different things that we neglect it. We go astray. The same thing about attending worship services. People go astray. They gently or slowly stop attending the services. Not all at once, but first it's usually Wednesday, and then it's Sunday night, and before long, it's Sunday morning. We go astray. Sheep have a tendency to go astray. That's what I'm saying. And David realized that having been a shepherd must seek to find a lost sheep. The sheep's never going to return on its own. The sheep is never going to come to the shepherd on its own. He seeks us, he finds us, and in those parables, he places the sheep on his shoulders and carries it all the way home. The same thing is true about a child of God, a sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. He must find us. When we go astray, he must find us. And if he doesn't, we'll just go farther and farther astray. That's a fact. That's the first fact. The Lord Jesus Christ has his sheep. They're his by gift. They're his by purchase. They're his by inheritance. And they're his by him finding them. Here's the second fact. The Lord Jesus has under shepherds. He has under shepherds. In 1 Peter chapter 5, we read that Christ is the chief shepherd. Yes, he's the chief shepherd, but we know that he has under shepherds. He has elders or pastors of the congregations of the sheep. And in that fifth chapter of 1 Peter, Peter confesses himself also. He uses that word also. I'm an elder also. He's writing to the elders. But he confesses himself to be an elder also. You know, some have done with Peter the same thing that they did with Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel told Mary, "Blessed thou art among women." And people have changed that, and they say, "Blessed art thou above women." And so they begin to worship Mary and begin to call her a mediatrix. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's what the Word of God declares. That's God's Word. And they've done the same thing with Peter. They say, he says he's an elder also, but they say, no, he's above everyone else. In fact, some of them go so far as to say he's the rock upon which Christ built his church. What a lie. Satan's masterpiece. Be sure of that. What a lie. There's only one foundation, and that's Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the foundation stone, and he's the chief cornerstone. And the apostles, the scripture says, are built upon him. Well, notice that Peter, when he wrote that first epistle, and he's writing to those elders there, he repeated what the Lord said to him. Feed the flock of God. That's what he wrote. Feed the flock of God. And the Apostle Paul said the same thing to the elders of the church at Ephesus. Feed the flock. Now, two things I notice. The sheep, his sheep, we grow. And we grow by being fed. Just like your body, if you never took in any food, it wouldn't grow. It would die. The sheep grow by being fed. And I see this when our Lord first of all said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my lambs. Start off as lambs, don't we? When a person is born again of the Spirit of God, he's not full grown. She's not full grown. We are given the graces of God, the Holy Spirit, but these graces grow. They should grow. And how do they grow? By being fed. Sheep grow by being fed. And I see the same thing that when John, in his first letter, he addressed it, first of all, to children, to young men, to old men. What is that saying? It's saying that we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't come into the faith being full grown. And the Lord uses his word. What are the sheep to be fed? In Psalm 100 in verse 3, the psalmist said, "Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us." God made us. God created us. He made us, first of all, as men and women. And he made us believers. Know you not that it is he that hath made us and not we ourselves? We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What is that pasture? It's the Word of God. The green pastures. Every pastor is exhorted not to entertain people. That's not what God calls preachers to do. Tell funny stories, sad stories, and entertain people. No. The pastor is to feed the flock over which God the Holy Spirit has made us an overseer. Feed the flock. And the food comes from the Bible, from the Word of God. One of the chief requirements, we see this here, one of the chief requirements for an under-shepherd is that he love Christ. Our Lord asked Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Now, some men have suggested, if you look back at our text this morning, when the Lord said in verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" Some say, well, these, that must refer to the fish. Do you love me more than the business, the occupation of fishing? I don't believe that's what he said at all, what he meant at all. But I will say this, that a man who's called to preach, who is set apart to the ministry, preaching is his life. He doesn't need to be involved in a lot of other things. I've lived long enough to see some preachers slowly, just like a sheep goes astray, slowly get involved in this business and this business, and many of them before long are out of the Lord's business. No. Preaching is the life of a pastor. That's his work. That's his life. That's his job, to feed the church of God. Now these, I believe it refers to the other disciples. A few days ago, Peter, you were boasting and you were telling me, you were telling all of us that though all these people forsake you, not me, you can count on me. I'll go with you even unto death. Now, Simon, do you love me more than these? The scripture says, take heed, lest thinking you stand, you fall. Yeah. Peter had fallen. Now, Peter, do you still confess that you love me more than these, that you're more faithful, and in yourself, you're more competent than any of these other disciples? Here's the last fact. The Lord Jesus has all knowledge. Verse 17, Peter said, thou knowest all things. Did Peter confess this because the Lord had told him what he would do before he did it? The Lord had told him, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Is that the reason Peter now confesses, Lord, you know everything. You know all things. You know, there are many things that happen in the life of every sheep. Providential happenings in the life of every child of God. And we try to figure out the purpose. We try to somehow figure out the purpose. Why would God allow this to happen? Why did God cause this to happen? And we come up with a blank. We don't know. We know this. Whatever it is, it's part of the all things that work together for good to those who love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We do know that. When the Lord washed the feet of His disciples, He told them, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And it wasn't a few days or a few months maybe before they realized why the Lord had washed their feet. They then knew. And sometimes we do know in a month or a week or a day why the Lord allowed this or caused this to happen. But there's some things we'll never know until we reach heaven's shore. Now we see through a glass darkly. But then we shall see face to face. And I'm confident that when we look back, we will all confess the same thing. The Lord hath done all things well. That man said one time, if you had all the power in the world, you'd change everything. But if you had all the wisdom, you wouldn't change anything. And God does. He has all wisdom and all power. And He's working all things after the counsel of His will. And all things ultimately for His glory and for the good of His people. I trust the Lord will bless this word to us this morning. Now, if you will, let's turn to hymn number 258.